the pizza.
Yes, she would.
We have found.
Yeah, yeah.
She didn't think he meant it.
Okay, so that's one topic dealt with. Good afternoon, everybody. This is the ALAC policy discussion, part one, on Tuesday, the 25th of October, 2011. The time is 14:09, and we have three items on the agenda. First one being the hot topic, the development of ALAC metrics. The second one being the at-large ICANN Academy. And the third one being the public comment and enhancements when Phyllis Yılmaz will be joining us. In fact, with the ICANN Academy, she will also be joining us at that time. Just to explain for the sake of transparency, starting with the first topic, the development of ALAC metrics, the ALAC XCOM and certain members of the community who have had the experience of previous attempts at having ALAC metrics put together met in the bar right now, just about for the past hour, and try to remind themselves of what the metrics were then, what the first attempt was, and what worked and what did not work. So a discussion that is still in our minds has taken place as to the kind of metrics that could be required, etc. And now we can hope, within the time allocated of about 45 minutes, we can come to some arrangement or a decision as to what we are going to do with regards to ALAC metrics. I wonder... Okay, so we need Gisela in here because Gisela would be able to give us a background.
We can't hear anything. Pour les gens qui attendent.
She hasn't gone dead, we're just trying to find Gisela.
Perhaps, if I may, Mr. Chairman, it might be an appropriate time to read to the record the relevant sections of the rules of procedure as they stand.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. You may do so after introducing yourself. Please go ahead.
Thank you. My name is Cheryl Langdonor for the transcript record. If I could ask that staff find the URL or put up a short, small URL into the chat room, please, for the rules of procedure so that the chat room, as well as any other pod you so desire, has a record of these rules of procedure. As astonishing as it is to me, there are people in ALSs who do not read these rules daily. I'm horrified, I must say. Therefore, we need to make sure that not only the at-large advisory committee members, and we have new members coming to the table, of course, at the end of this meeting, not this meeting, but the AGM of ICANN, there is a transition where new nominating committee appointed members and where selected members from the regions take their seat. And if you don't know what the rules say about your minimum participation requirements, it is a dim thing indeed. Therefore, my dulcet tones are going to bore you for a few moments while we read this to the record. The reference is to Rule 21. This is only reflecting on ALAC members, that is 15 people. Minimum participation requirements. The term delegates is used throughout the rules of procedure to mean member of the ALAC. Okay? Delegates are expected to actively participate in all aspects of the committee's work. This includes some qualitative commitments and some quantitative requirements. It goes on. The qualitative commitments are: the delegate should read and comment in ALAC online forums. This is inclusive of either or inclusive of them all: email lists, wiki pages, webinars, the way we normally communicate. But it actually says, thou shalt participate. You also are required to follow the at-large structure certification process, and if members of the ALAC vote in accreditation votes. That is not an option, that is a requirement. We frequently vote to accept or reject the advice of our regional people to form a bona fide, accepted, certified, at-large structure. It is the vote of the ALAC that makes that happen, and ALAC members must vote. You must also participate in ALAC conference calls and attend physical ALAC meetings and or for liaisons, and here liaisons means the bylaw mandated liaisons to GNSO and the CCNSO. Okay? There's only two liaisons that we must have under ICANN bylaws. That is to the two support organisations. Whoever holds those roles must also attend the meetings of the bodies which the person is liaison to at an ICANN meeting. So, in fact, under normal circumstances, you would expect the CCNSO liaison to be sitting quite frequently at your table here, and for me, as CCNSO liaison, to be sitting at the council table in another room. That is what is expected, and that counts as being present, as if you are in your own room. You're also required to provide feedback on any ICANN versus at-large community or at-large community matter. So things that are between ICANN and at-large community or between parts of at-large community matters, whenever asked to or needed. You are expected to serve as a liaison to the public. And the quantitative requirements are, these are subsections under section 21.9. If members, you must cast a vote, including abstention, in at least three quarters of the ALS accreditation votes. And participate in at least two-thirds of ALAC conference calls in any six-month period. And attend at least one physical ICANN meeting in any nine-month period. And complete at least one feedback, survey or interaction on at-large community issues. In other words, not ICANN at large, but at-large issues in any 6 months period. And there we would include participation in particular webinars, perhaps regional discussions, managing to be either a chair or a liaison to a particular work group. But they would be at large matters, not ICANN at large matters. Then in bold, and this is where I will end, the participation requirements set forth in this section shall be considered met if and only if the requirements stated in an earlier rule, 21.3, are met. And that goes back to the reading and commenting on the online forums. So that one is a deal breaker, ladies and gentlemen. Now you all know more about what is expected of you than you possibly ever have before. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. So we have these, I guess, metrics which are ingrained in our rules of procedures. They're part of our DNA, as one says. On top of that, one of the reasons, or if not the main reason, why this subject is now coming up is because it also links to the at-large improvements. In the at-large improvements, a specific section says the following: create and implement a transparent sanctions process for non-performance of ALAC, RELO and ALS members. The relevant metrics and sanctions should be consistent across all RELOs. The sanctions should be progressive, including the withholding of travel support and ending with the replacement of the member. That relates to 4.5, 4.5.2, 4.5.3, 4.5.5 and 4.6, these being the expanded recommendations that the at-large received from the consultant that conducted the improvements process. The a vote was conducted before the improvements interim report was passed to the Structural Improvements Committee, and there were questions or concerns about the use of the word sanctions, hence having a vote that was not 100% yes. There were, if I believe, three no's and there was one abstention. Can I call on Carlton Samuels, who had voted no, to explain the reason why he voted no, because I believe it was specifically a concern about this, the wording of this section.
Thank you, Chair Carlton Samuels, for the record. I voted no because of the language that was used in the report. It actually says they must determine and implement sanctions. And now you know that is definitely against the rules of procedure, but as a matter of natural justice, I thought it was wrong. I felt, and the rules of procedure bear me out, that in terms of the members who were elected from the RALOs, it was up to the RALOs to determine that. But the chair of the ALAC has a responsibility to inform the RALOs of the slacker. It is, to me, there is no sanctioning involved here. It is a matter of passing information, and it is in the chair's judgment that this has happened. Until the chair passes that information to the RALO leadership, there is nothing that moves until that point. That is with respect to the RALOs. In the case of members that come through the nominating committee process, there is still a responsibility incumbent on the chair to let the nominating committee know that there is some level of dissatisfaction with the members' contribution in the committee. And it is up to the nominating committee to do that. What my colleague, Cheryl Langdon Orr, has pointed out to you, that there's a nexus between what we can do in ALAC and what the other parts of the organization that we relate to can do. And in this case, I had suggested that the rational way of dealing with the non-com appointed member is for the process in the non-com to be amended so that, A, you either make better choices consistent with the needs of the ALAC, or B, you have a recall commission. So it's a commission to sit on the ALAC. The nominating committee must then put in some kind of process that recalls the commission. And I think I am absolved in this case. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Carlton. And indeed, the next recommendation in the list is to create, in collaboration with ICANN's nominating committee, the NOMCOM, a process for the midterm replacement both of NOMCOM appointments to the ALAC and of ALAC appointments to the NOMCOM. So that is a process that still must begin. I see a couple of hands already, so we'll start with Alan and then afterwards Eduardo. Alan.
Okay, thank you. And I'm speaking as the person who was largely responsible in coordination with Cheryl for doing the last attempt at changing, looking at our metrics and what we do because of it. And I'm not necessarily advocating something, but there are things that people must be aware of. Carlton is quite correct in saying that our current rules have no provision for sanctions, but our current rules can be changed by us or by the ALAC. They don't even, unlike the rules of the GNSO, for instance, which then have to be ratified by the board, I don't believe ours do. So the rules are what they are, but they don't necessarily have to be the same tomorrow. Should the group decide that we need sanctions or need funny hats with stars on them, whatever. Pardon me?
Yes, please.
Okay. Funny hat with stars for Cheryl. So that's part number one. I think it is important to recognize that again, there is no concept of recall within our current rules, be it for NOMCOM members, NOMCOM appointees, or RALO appointees. There are precedents in the organization, however, that we should be aware of. Whether we want to follow those precedents or not is a different issue altogether, but we shouldn't be blind to them. The bylaws specifically give the board the ability to remove board members, almost all board members. Their rules allow them to remove any board member except the GAC liaison, which has a different set of rules. For those appointed by organizations such as the GNSO and presumably now the ALAC or at large, I believe they are obliged to notify that organization ahead of time that they plan to take action. And that organization may choose to remove the person if there are such rules. But regardless of that, they then have the ability to unilaterally, subject to appeal presumably in the various ICANN rules, have the ability to unilaterally remove anyone, including liaisons, with the exception of the GAC liaison. So there are precedents should we choose to want to put something like that in place. It's not that they're not allowed. It's a matter of choice on behalf of the ALAC.
Thank you very much, Alan. And I think if I understand Carlton correctly, the actual, apart from the unfortunate use of the word sanctions, the concern was more a case of to whom does this responsibility incumbents to. In other words, is it for the ALAC to take action and remove someone, or is it for the regional at-large organizations having brought their put their member on the ALAC rather than the other way around?
And I was pointing out that it is our choice whether the ALAC has the ability. It is the RALO's choice whether they have the ability, although the report implies that we should have consistent rules across RALO's.
Thank you, Alan. We actually have Eduardo first.
Yeah.
before you. Oh, do you wish to just, is the rules of procedure?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry, Eduardo, as an answer.
Sir. Just because we were going to get to this later, but Alan's introduced it now, it would be Cheryl. No, let me start that again. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name's Cheryl Langdon Orr for the transcript record, and I've clearly only just finished my Red Bull drink, not had it affect me properly. What I was meaning to say was that now Alan has introduced the particular next step issues, it might be wise for everyone to know exactly what rule does exist in our rules of procedure if someone does fail to meet the minimum, note, they are minimum performance criteria that I'd read earlier to the record. This comes to 21.10, says the following. For ordinary ALAC members, in other words, not the officers of the ALAC, ordinary ALAC members, in case of failure to meet the requirements, the chair will privately encourage the member to resign. That's it. To resign. If this does not happen by 14 days from that communication, the chair will formally notify the entity responsible for appointing the member, and a message may, note, may be copied to public ALAC lists. And that communication to the appointing organisation needs to ask that the appointment is immediately reconsidered. That's the end of the rule. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. So we definitely see a different rule, which actually is in place at the moment. Eduardo.
I had a question. If this is if the NOMCOM has a recall process, which I don't think we have, or if this has happened before with other people, before that were appointed with the NOMCOM,
For the record, I understand that such a problem has occurred, but the NOMCOM does not have a process for the recall, which means that we will have to start work with the NOMCOM to find some process for that. And therefore, I would imagine that there would be an added piece in the rule of procedure that would deal specifically with the NOMCOM process that will be implemented at the time. Yes, Eduardo.
The other question I have, you said it, when you were going through the improvement process, that whatever we do here, the routes have to have it, across. Is that correct? Did I understand correct?
Sorry, can you ask again? I didn't hear.
Maybe I'm asking the wrong, the question wrongly. When you talked about the improvements, there's a point there where you mentioned that, whatever we do at the ALAC level, the RALOS should also have it in their as a standard. No? Did I understand that wrong?
Was the answer yes or no? If somebody wants to answer directly. Darlene, please. Darlene?
Well, if the ALAC has rules of procedures that if after three-quarters meetings are missed and two-thirds are meeting, then it has to go to the RALOS. And right now, the RALOS do not have rules of procedures that deal with this because our rules of procedures actually predated these ALAC rules of procedures. So when all of us were forming up, none of us put it in our rules of procedures. We didn't think of it, So that's something actually that we've identified that we absolutely need to do. And at the next secretariats and chairs meeting here, we will be discussing this as a way to harmonize all of the RALO's recall procedures and how we're going to go about doing it. Does that answer it correctly, Cheryl?
It does from the secretariat perspective, but I am concerned, Cheryl Langdon Orr for the transcript record, that Eduardo was asking, the rules we have do not, let me very clear, the rules ALAC have do not need to be duplicated or harmonised into the RALOS. The RALOS rules are the RALOS rules. But because we have a requirement for you to possibly reconsider. You do need to have harmonised rules about recall or reconsideration. Okay? But just because it's in our rules does not mean it needs to be in your rules. But the consequence of our rules needs to be dealt with.
Thank you, Cheryl. And we have a queue. Next in the queue is Wolf Ludwig.
Wolf Ludwig for the records. Thanks, Olivier. There is only one situation I can recall, which was a very drastic situation at the time due to circumstances what I wouldn't describe, that the person was inactive. The person was, by family and other reasons and surrounding problems, not in a position to continue the performance any longer. Mm-hmm. And there was a moment of insecurity. Juralu at the time didn't properly exist. It was in the founding process of the RALO structures. And the situation was settled, to my memory, after intervention of at-large staff, coordinated with at-large members at the time, and the person had to resign from the position. And nowadays, I would say, we do not have set procedures so far at Juralo, but as I commented already on the at-large list, I think that the RALO leadership, in coordination with at-large, the EXCOM, has a special responsibility for its members. And be assured, from a Juralo perspective, such a situation wouldn't be tolerated, except for very good reasons, but even for very good reasons for a limited period of time. Because for me, transparency and accountability, what we always demand from others, we have to fulfill these requirements and categories by ourselves firsthand. And I think there must be some kind of a standardized understanding and standardized procedure among all RALOs in cooperation with at large, how to react and interfere in the given situation.
Thank you very much, Wolf. Next is Sergio.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Sergio Salinas Porto. I sort of kept on thinking, and I'm going to speak in Spanish, I'm sorry for this. I kept on thinking what Cheryl was saying. I don't know whether it is a proposal or whether it she was reading the article of our rulings or bylaws. And while at that, I have a different conception of organizations. And maybe that is why I'm always thinking who's got the power. And I think that the base, the people in the base have the power rather than the superstructures. Only the voters can terminate the position of the superstructures. And superstructures can tell the voters how the structures are operating. If that is the case, there's nothing else to be discussed. But if it can be changed, I'd rather have power in the baseline rather than on top. It's very dangerous for this organization to have a bunch of people defining the policy on top of the organization itself. Thank you very much.
Actually, we are totally in agreement. I think that everyone is totally in agreement in that. It will be the RALOs that will be able to remove or take action on the information provided to them by the chair of the at-large advisory committee. If the person affected, the specific person, is the chair of the at-large advisory committee, then there are parts and rules and procedures as well which detail exactly what has to be done at that point at-large level and, of course, at RALO level, since it is the RALO that appoints an at-large advisory committee member to the at-large advisory committee. Now, I think we are pretty much in agreement with the need for action. The thing, though, is nothing can be done without having actual metrics on which we can base the actions that the rules of procedure detail. And this is why we are thinking, and not only thinking, we are actually seriously looking at putting metrics with regards to the performance or non-performance of at-large advisory committee members. I would have hoped that Gisela was here, but every time I ask for her, she's not. So I'm not quite sure what's going on, but I would like to put the board, for example, of the original at-large sheet that was done a few years ago, if we can have it full screen, please, so we can actually see it. Because the person who knew that sheet much better than anyone else was Gisela. So what you have is names of ALAC members on the left-hand column, and then you have various different metrics, which are quantitative metrics. A discussion that we had at lunch about quantitative versus qualitative matrix yielded the fact that a qualitative matrix is particularly difficult to implement due to the fact that it is not a mathematical thing. So for some people, someone is working enough. For someone else, that same person might not be working enough. And that would generate an absolutely intractable problem. On the other hand, a quantitative matrix is just a case of being able to count, to notice if someone participates or does not participate, if someone is present at a meeting or not present at a meeting. And in fact, there are basic quantitative standards which are actually part of the at-large rules of procedures. There is a minimum number of meetings to be attended per year, a minimum number of votes to do. And those votes are both ALS votes, votes on statements, votes on anything else that requires voting. And unfortunately, there are some cases where votes are where you basically get a green or a red or yellow, whichever it is. Tijani, you wanted to say something?
Pardon. Oui, je veux dire quelque chose.
Yes, I wanted to say something. According to what you've just said, Olivier, the qualitative participation will not be taken into account.
I have said that we are going to concentrate on this. After that, it's not for us to decide this today. And in fact, it wasn't my aim to actually decide this today. Cheryl Langdonor.
And Cheryl Langdonor for the transcript record. I just wanted, while you were on this quantitative page, to make you very aware of the little purple bits. Now, the little purple bits are incredibly important because they're when people have made the effort to apologise for not being able to attend a meeting or fulfil something. The rules of procedure, in fact, have they are silent on apologies. In fact, it is interpreted from the rules of procedure that apologies mean nothing. Why we put this listing of apologies in here was, should someone end up failing to meet their metric, right? And there was a set of these that were apologies. That is the type of information that not only the chairman, when they interact with the recalcitrant, but that the region or the appointing body would obviously take into account. And if you were ill or travelling overseas or whatever, and this is only one metric of many, remember it's and, then that would be, oh, well, we understand why, you apologised, you did all the other things, that's okay. So it was really important to capture a metric, a measure, that wasn't actually outlined in the rules because it tempers how we feel about it. Big difference to just not turn up or say, I cannot turn up and here is my apology. That said, many organisations have a number of times sequentially that an apology can be sent. So you can't just put your apologies on auto out of your calendar. There is often a need to say, and no more than three in a row unless exceptional circumstances or something. But when you sort out your metrics, remember to capture what is useful as well as what must be captured. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. And I must note that actually the apologies, I have received several apologies this year for some members not being able to make it to a meeting or vote. And I have accepted in each occasion the apology, which was very valid and in some cases very dramatic as well. And so I don't think for the time being that we should judge someone on the apologies. On the other hand, it would be for the chair perhaps to take each apology in turn. And indeed, yes, if there are so many apologies that it starts becoming rather embarrassing, then the chair would be able to, with his would have the discretion to discuss that problem with the person who constantly has to apologize and see what course of action to take together. Next is Alan.
Just a very quick comment, since most of the people in this room were not around at the time that we were collecting these metrics and looking at them, whoever's managing the screen might want to flash up one of the other pages with lots of red on them. If you want to be discreet, try to hide the names, roll them off or not, but the screen we were looking at here was innocuous.
So as you can see, in those days, there were a lot more people who were in reds than we have today.
I meant the summary one with the percentages and all the reds.
That's still loading, probably. I will tell you one thing, the network today would get a red from me.
I believe it was page one. Never
okay,
mind.
Okay, well, let's not wait until it turns up, because as I said, it will be more than red by the time we reach it. So now the process, so what I ask of everyone around the table here and ALAC members is to decide on whether we wish to create a working group, an ad hoc working group, whose task will be to address this, to create a matrix of metrics, and I couldn't stop playing this one, a matrix of metrics with staff, of course, and technologically speaking, also find out what would the best technology be to make it as simple as possible for our staff to be able to implement such metrics. We're not going to be discussing each metric in turn, but the fact is that the working group is going to have to do that, basically. And what we have to do if we want to move forward is to basically go ahead with creating this working group. Any comments before I put a motion through or propose a motion to create this working group? Any comments first? Jean-Jacques.
Thank you, Olivier. First, I'd like to say that I respect very much everything which has been said in favor of the establishment of a set of metrics. I understand its usefulness, and if in the past there have been cases of insufficient participation, I think it's justified. Now, having said that, I'm struck by the fact that a group such as this, which is entirely made up of volunteers, comes to a point where it is necessary, or we feel that it is necessary, to set up these mechanisms. So, just as a word of caution, I would say that I would be more comfortable whilst you set up a group to study whatever measures, etc., I think that we should keep in mind the possibility to have a more flexible and informal approach. After all, it is the chair of ALAC who is in contact or can be in contact with all the leaders of the RALOs and everything else. And to say in an unofficial way to start with, it's a question of graduation or graduated response, as it were, to start with a simple notice to the chair of the RALO, in that case, look, we have a problem. So either the chair of that RALO says, okay, I'll take care of that person, or says, no, I'm sorry, I can't deal with it for whatever reason. So in that case, you escalate it to the next level of response. So to sum up my intervention, I would like to say that fine for metrics, let's go ahead. But two, in the application, in the implementation, I would argue for a certain flexibility in which the human factor, in other words, the responsibility of the chair of ALAC, is not downgraded, nor would the responsibility of the RALO chairs be downgraded. You'd have to try that as a first or second step in any case. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Jean-Jacques, and I believe we are in agreement. But it is impossible for the chair of ALAC to even know the non-performance of someone if that chair of ALAC does not have the metric at hand. The chair may know about the immediate meetings affecting the chair, but perhaps not the concatenation of all of the meetings that are being missed. And more often than not, when a member does not perform, and thankfully we have not had this in recent times, but in the past, whilst I remember hearing stories of members not just not being at one meeting, but all of the meetings, and not voting at all, and being a totally away without leave person, someone completely missing.
Yes, sorry, I am coming back on this, because what I wanted to say actually is that in a group of volunteers such as this, with a huge amount of volunteer work which is done, it should be led through example, and therefore we should encourage people to feel ashamed rather than being pointed out with metrics and all that. Anyone can say that there are a number of people around this table whom we profoundly admire for their dedication, for the quality of the work they've done. That's what we should aspire to. It is to imitate those, rather than having a set of excuses on, my God, have I met the minimum this month or this year?
Thank you, Jean-Jacques. Salah.
Hi, I'm Salinieta Tamanika-Emero, for the record, a.k.a. Sala. My views on the matter are that whilst, yes, we should push for productivity, no one signs up for anything unless, you expect, when I signed up, I'm very much aware of the responsibilities and the demand on my time. And I know each of you have your own commitments, both professional commitments, non-professional commitments, and volunteerism, that sort of thing. But I have a serious problem with the idea that in terms of volunteering, that it's going to actually, there's a matrix for it. The reason why I say that is it kills the very core a tenet of volunteerism. And what you will find, and this is what I'm predicting, I'm forecasting, is that once you begin to, and this I'm sort of predicting that one of the likelihood and one of the dangers that could possibly occur, is that it could become so rigid and mechanical that instead of producing a spirit of collaboration and a richness of diversity of ideas, I think we could possibly find that people are responding mechanically, and it's not really a robust place for discussions. And when I entered the when I entered the community, I first, and what excited me about it was that, wow, you know, this represents the views of consumers, of the end users. And very quickly, just before I wrap up, I also want to say that, and my comments are available on the chat site, is that I think ultimately it's a human resource management issue, and really it's the RALO heads who should be managing a team culture, building team spirit and encouraging maximum participation and that sort of thing, and to encourage productivity, create the culture to allow for productivity, not so much regulated. That's all.
Okay, thank you, Salah. Any other comments? Ganesh?
Thank you, Chair. This is Ganesh Kumar. I support Salah in her statement that this is a human resources issue and we're all volunteers over here. I want to still emphasize from our last conversation just prior to this meeting, there are a couple of different things. One is the minimum code of conduct, and second is the performance and productivity and contribution. I think when you are measuring, you need a tool, as you said, you know, you cannot keep track of it in your mind, whether a person is participating or not. But I would like to kind of point out, or at least suggest, while the working committee or working group, if it is indeed formed, to keep this, whether to make this metric public or not. Because I think at the end of the day, no organization in, you know, that I worked with, disciplinary sort of behavioral metrics that they keep, they make it public. So that's one. Second, if you do have contribution metrics and effectiveness metrics, rank it. Rank the members' contribution if we get there. And I think that will be a good tool to, for people to get motivated to be on that list. So I think those are two suggestions that I have for you in terms of tracking and acting on it.
Thank you, Ganesh. Next is Alan.
Thank you. Just a couple of thoughts on what both Jean-Jacques and Salah said. Both of them made reference to human issues, and I think this is very, very much relevant here. We are dealing with people. We're dealing with people often who we have multiple types of interactions with. I will recall that North America, I believe, is the only region that has had to ever use these rules. And I won't speak on the behalf of the chair. Pardon me? APRLO has also. My apologies. At the time, I think the RALO would have been delighted if the ALAC would have stepped in and done our dirty work for us. No, seriously, it's a matter of dealing with people who you've known for a long time, you know, you have good relations with otherwise, and for to have someone else have done the quote, dirty work, according to some procedures on the books, would have been a blessing. It was a lot more difficult to have to do it ourselves. So it's something you want to think about as an option. With regard to robots and, you know, just having a set of rigid rules, I think that's exactly why we're looking at the rules we have right now. Because I'll freely tell you, I once was one of those red squares. The reason I was a red square is I missed an ALS vote, and we only had two of them in that period, and that was less than 75%, which it calls for. 75% is dandy if you have 12 votes in a period and it averages out. It doesn't work very well if you only had one or two. So you're right. We need flexibility in whatever we have, and there has to be some judgment call, as Olivier was indicating he uses in terms of regrets and absences and things. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alan. Next in the queue is Tejani, and I'll close the queue after that because we are running out of time already.
Oui, je...
Yes, I agree with everything that has been said. I understand very well that this is a human matter, and people are volunteers. They do this work because they want to. My concern here is in any case, what Cheryl and Olivier said earlier, that did not mean that it was something that would be very sharp and rigid that would send people away. But it would. There's a need for a minimum of participation that would allow ALAC to function. Imagine ALAC, where there are 15 people, 10 do not satisfy requirements or the metrics that we have just mentioned. How will ALAC be able to operate? A minimum of participation is necessary. It has to be mentioned, and when we also have to see what will happen when somebody does not meet these expectations. It's not a sanction, something bad, but people might have good reasons. They can be sick on a trip, etc. So these are not failures, but we have to be flexible. But we need something. ALAC must function.
And so, since we are reaching the end of this subject, I would like to ask staff to please propose the motion, which is, Heidi, do you have it?
Okay, the motion, as I understand it, is that should the ALAC create a working group to establish a set of metrics to be designed and to evaluate performance of ALAC metrics? Is that correct, Chair?
That is correct. And do I have any seconder? I see Cheryl and Holly. And thank
Point
you.
Of order, Holly, as original lead, actually doesn't have the right.
Oh, she's not ALAC, of course. Okay, so I have Evan as a seconder. And so let's read the motion again, please, and then we'll vote. We'll start.
Okay, again.
In fact, I should ask Cheryl to ask for the vote, please.
So the motion, once again, is should the ALAC create a working group to establish a set of metrics to be designed and to evaluate performance of ALAC members?
Cheryl?
You're asking me to act as returning officer and call the vote. Is that what you're asking me to do?
Yes, please.
Okay. Discussion having been held and the motion having been read to the record, I now call for all ALAC members to raise their identity card if they wish to be registered in a vote for this resolution. Keep your cards up, please, ladies and gentlemen. Not so far that you hurt yourself. That vote having been counted, I now call for any ALAC member who wishes to vote against this motion, raise their hand or card. For the record, we see none. Now is the opportunity for any ALAC member to abstain from this vote. I see Edmund Chung. Edmund, would you care to state to the record your reasons for abstaining?
Sure. I guess two things. I missed the very end of the discussion, but and also the making the motion. But I think I'm probably one of those who are absent one or two times, a few times, and I do try my best to put in my apologies. And there are certain areas that I think I contribute a lot more, and I do concentrate on them. I'm abstaining because I think generally creating a sort of a brownie points. Metrics might be not necessarily most constructive, but I'm actually not against it. I think if there is one, I'll try my best not to be at the bottom of the the chart. So that's I think the reason why I'm saying.
Thank you very much, Edmund, and that's a perfect
Thank you
example.
Very much, Edmund, and actually just as an add-on and for the record, although you have missed couple of calls or votes or whatever, I have in most cases received an apology from you. So it's...
And my IDN liaison report, sort of a brief. So.
And that was what I was going to add. Your IDN liaison has been stellar, and we have received all of your reports, and thank you very much.
And the reason I was running out is because I have a meeting on that purpose.
So, Edmund, go to your meeting. Don't be late. I've noticed next to you that Sandra was waving her card. I'm not quite sure about what. Could you please explain?
Thank you, all of you. Sandra Hofrichter, for the record. I just want to support what Edmund just said, and I think that's the working group for, to discuss all these issues, take them into consideration. And I think it's not about finding a way to sanction people, it's more or less finding a sort of common ground to work on and to agree. And I think that what Edmund just said is a very valuable thing, which should be, and I'm sure will be, taken into account by the working group.
Thank you very much. And Jean-Jacques.
Yes, I should have come into this before the vote was taken, so I'm sorry. I have registered my vote as yes, but still I'd like to make this comment just in case it could be accepted as a friendly amendment. I'm struck by the fact that the wording now is measure the performance of. Now, that entails a certain number of mechanisms to know who will measure and how, etc. What I would propose, if you think it's still time for such a change, that instead of measuring the performance, we should say to ensure the proper or the adequate participation of. Because it's more vague. And you don't go into measuring in terms of percentage and all that. It's appropriate or adequate. Sufficient sounds a bit mean, so perhaps something along those lines. But maybe I've come into the play a bit too late. Sorry.
Thank you, Jean-Jacques. And I have first Cheryl in the queue and then Carlton. Cheryl.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Cheryl Langdon-Noll for the transcript record. Jean-Jacques, I think what we need to be painfully aware of is that this work group will be looking at mechanisms where it matters little what the minimum performance or requirements are. That is enshrined currently in our rules of procedure as a certain number of things. But we are also in parallel needing to review the rules of procedure, and that section may indeed be subject to change. But what this work group needs to do is look at the mechanisms and the modalities, and whether it's how many times you wear a blue shirt, it doesn't matter what it is, and how many times you're particularly nice to each other over coffee. That would be a qualitative and a quantitative one. Then whatever this work group comes up with should be robust, acceptable, understood by all, transparent, accountable, subject to question and review. And I think providing we give the work group enough latitude to come back to us, sorry, to the ALAC, with recommendations, it is a fairly safe thing to continue down the pathway of. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much. Carlton?
Thank you, Chair. Carlton Samuels, for the record. I wanted to say I support Jean-Jacques on that aspect of it. But what I was going to say to you, that there are hard, measurable indices that are enshrined in the rules of procedure. And perhaps what Jean-Jacques is suggesting is that the terms of reference of the working group, if it can embrace what he's suggesting, then it brings in everything that Cheryl has said. So they will look at the mechanisms, look at seeing whether or not the objectives, even in the rules of procedures, as fit for purpose. So I appreciate Jean-Jacques. I think it's a wise and sage suggestion, and I would urge its adoption by the working group.
Thank you very much, Carlton. And I do realize that we can do two things. The first thing, of course, that we need to do is to have a chair for that working group. And the other thing is perhaps to ask Carlton.
Oh. I just wanted to be in Carlton Samuels for the record. You said a chair?
An interim chair that will start it up, and I guess then the working group will be able to choose its chair.
I have some ideas about that.
If you wish to share those ideas, not against them.
I would, chair, one of the things about this kind of working group is that it has to involve somebody steering that has a deep understanding of process, especially the rules of procedure, pertinent rules of procedure to ALAC. And so I would suggest, instead of going the idea of an interim chair, what might be useful, rather to me, Chair, is for us to make the suggestion to the members that Cheryl Langdon or be considered chair of this work group with supportive members from every single region of the at-large space. That is my suggestion for the record.
Thank you very much, Carlton, and Tijani is seconding this. Cheryl?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Cheryl Langdon-Orr for the transcript record. I would be delighted to assist in steering and facilitating the necessary discussions to get this work done for two reasons, one of which it's work we tried to do before, did we not, Alan? And it would be enormously personally satisfying if, I'm sure Alan will join this work group, we could actually get this baby to bed. But secondly, it fits in with a number of the key elements of the implementation of our at-large review, which I worked long and hard on for a very long time. And consequently, because those things come together, it would mean that the two groups are not working in competition. They're working in harmony and complementing each other. I do wish to make sure that you are absolutely aware that you are appointing someone who is not going to be an ALAC member, and therefore you will also need to appoint a formal liaison of the ALAC to ensure that all those things that work group liaisons do under work group procedures is done. So you would want to need to appoint a second ALAC person as an ALAC liaison. Thank you, sir. And with that, I'd be honoured to take the role.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. And I was actually going to suggest a co-chair rather than just a liaison. Carlton?
Thank you, Chair Carlton Samuels. For the record, I would prefer that we have a chair and we have a liaison. And it is well within your powers as chair of ALAC to make that recommendation and make it stick.
Okay, thank you, Carlton, and I think I'll make it because procedure is not something which we want to get bogged down with, although we want to follow procedure, but certainly for things which I do see as being a waste of time going around in circles with regards to liaison chair, vice chair, et cetera, let's just get the work done. So, thank you. Liaison and chair. Do we have to appoint the liaison now, or can we just...
You could perhaps put that in your business for the next ALAC meeting, sir.
Thank you very much. And if we could have this as an action item, please, then in the next ALAC meeting, we will be appointing a liaison to that group. Okay. I think we can now move on to the next part of our agenda. And with us, we have Phyllis Yilmaz, who is joining us, who is... Of course, my thing has just jumped. Where are we now? Who is going to talk to us about the At-Large Academy? Here we go. We found...
I thought it was going to be a discussion starting with Sandra and Wolf and then...
Yeah.
Okay, so yes, yeah, so, well, the thing is, everyone around me thinks faster than I do at this moment. I probably need some more coffee. An ICAT Academy where Sandra and Wolf... Oh, Sergio.
Muchas gracias, señor. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Sergio Salinas Porto. I only wanted to say that we had Cristina Rodriguez yesterday, and she said that it was possible to have simultaneous interpretation for the work groups. I think it would be very interesting to apply this, especially for the justice that this needs to have regarding language, etc., so that we can meet the aim. So I would like to ask that interpretation be considered for the different languages spoken at ALAC. Thank you very much.
Very much, Sergio, and I would be okay with this if the current three Spanish-speaking members are on the channel or are involved for interpretation to be there, which I understand is the...
French, too.
But each time it would have to be three.
Chinese is fine. Any language needs three. And we would like all the regions, so, yeah.
Thank you, Cheryl. And thank you, Sergio, for pointing this out. Right, next thing then. So the ICANN Academy with an update and next step. And, of course, we have Wolf Ludwig and Sandra Hofrichter in the room, as well as Felix Yilmaz. Just to give you a little introduction, one of the improvements, at-large improvements report, milestone report, mentions the following. Establish the ICANN Academy, an annual training program for new at-large ALS members, modeled after aspects of the ICANN Fellowship and Diplo Foundation. The intent is to begin this program during the ICANN meeting in Toronto in October 2012. This actually was discussed a very long time ago during the Mexico summit when we had an ICANN 101 that took place, ICANN 101 session. So there was much discussion since then, and of course it's grown into the name ICANN Academy now. And what I was going to do was to first let Wolf and or Sandra to give us just a quick introduction on this and then an update from Phillies. Wolf, Sandra, who wishes? So Sandra, you have the floor.
Thank you, Olivier. It's Sandra Hofrichter for the record. Actually, it's a nice experience to hear that there was a sort of this movement before my appointment as an ALEC member. I didn't know about this ICANN 101 when this idea came into my mind when I was participating the first full ICANN meeting in Cartagena. And I got this idea by the background, knowing about the two summer schools going on around the globe, which is the Latin American summer school and the European summer school, which is a sort of a different approach to transport this very specific knowledge in this term of the summer school, the internet governance knowledge. But I think it is absolutely necessary for incoming leaders within the entire ICANN community, not only for at-large incoming officers, to get them a sort of introduction. And another very important point in this regard is to foster the cross-community work on a very early stage. So therefore, the format of these summer schools, which is a school not in a conference style, but more sort of a camp with a very big socializing factor in it, could be a very good idea for ICANN as well. Because I recognize this by myself, and I recognize this by people joining ICANN for a long time and coming in, that you are somehow lost, at least for the first one, two, three meetings, before you are really efficient, before you really can contribute. And this could not be in, when I just recall the discussion we had now, when we are looking that we are here for as a volunteer and everybody is spending the time. It should be organized in a more efficient way to get those incoming leaders to understand, to work, and to contribute. And since Katharina, we had contact with Phyllis Yilmaz. She was so kind to support this this proposal and to encourage us to develop this proposal. Phyllis was also participating in the European Summer School this year, just to get a sort of an idea what I'm talking about. And still, I think she is in favor with this idea, and to make this to bring this to a solid proposal, which can be submitted to the ICANN board. Some work needs to be done. The proposal needs to be adjusted. We have to think about. We have to take into consideration what the whole entire ALEC community thinks about this proposal. And so, therefore, we are here to discussing the next steps, which will hopefully end in setting up a working group for the ICANN Academy as well. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sandra. And the proposal, the original proposal, is can be found on the wiki page, which is linked to the agenda and which I believe is on the screen as well. It is interesting in that so far I have only heard positive comments about it, to the extent that even today after our meeting with the GAC, I had a couple of GAC members come to me and ask me about it and said, oh, do you think we could be going and having some kind of lessons or course on how, because the GAC is expanding and we're arriving and we're not quite sure exactly what's going on. It would be really helpful for us to also receive this kind of information and to be included in this. So let's not discuss the exact details of who qualifies and who doesn't qualify. I gather the working group that we're setting or that we're thinking of establishing will be dealing with this. Lutz Donnerhacke.
Lutz Donnerhacke, for the record, you are proposing that we take this opportunity to finance the ICANN Academy by itself.
Thank you, Lutz. Financing the ICANN Academy, interesting. I have not looked at this. I don't know if anybody else has looked at this yet. I gather it would be for finance to look at financing. One thing that I can say is that there have been discussions with finance as to how this would be financed. And so far, the proposal of the ICANN Academy has come forward. The initial proposal was that only at-large members or at-large incoming at-large members would be or ALEC members, etc., people who would take specific responsibilities in the ALEC structure would qualify for the academy. Do you wish to share anything on this, or I can just summarize. Basically, it appears that it might benefit other supporting organizations and advisory committees too, which does make the discussion about financing a little bit more complicated. However, yesterday, when the financial year 14 and strategic and operational plan was discussed in room BC12 yesterday afternoon, I did ask a question when seeing that the requests from SOs, so supporting organizations and advisory committees, were all considered in silos, and asked whether there was a possibility for projects to actually go on a transversal basis across the different SOs and ACs. The answer that was provided to me was that there was a big box underneath called special projects. And from this answer, I would deduce, I'm not saying that this it is the case, but my own deduction is that this could be a special project. That said, once we will discuss this with finance, and once this project blooms and develops further and comes closer to having a proper budget, we will probably be able to start getting answers rather than just speculation. Any other comments? So, Phyllis, you're here to perhaps provide us with an update from your perspective.
Hello, everyone. Phyllis Yılmaz, Senior Director of Participation and Engagement. And thank you again for having me here. I really enjoy. Thanks, Salah, my fellow from EuroSIG. I really enjoy these engagements with you guys. And, you know, we have been developing several ideas overtime since I started for a year now. Some of them were really inspired by you guys, so I do actually really, really appreciate being here and being allowed to hear your comments. Now, about the ICANN Academy, I just want to make a few remarks. Obviously, this is an ALAC at large proposal, and you know the details, and you have carved it out. I just provided some feedback whenever was possible and whenever Wolf and Sandra saw it suitable. My observations, and these are not like you know, any advice or anything. I just want to make observations again, because I think this group is more than capable of seeing what is needed where and proposing accordingly. Like Olivia has already mentioned, since the beginning, when I was aware of this idea, I found it very sound. There is a need for this. We do not have a structured program for that level when we bring in people as leaders, especially for various groups. We see that they may not be receiving the proper orientation necessarily. They get some information from here and there, but we all know how to be a newcomer, and especially if you are brought to a group without previous experience from ICANN, then it can be very challenging for people. And I'm not saying this for everybody, of course. ICANN community has been producing and bringing up leaders from its own. So normally, sometimes our leaders in that position are very experienced, and they are coming from the whole grassroots systems of ICANN. But again, maybe they suffered the same problem. And when I talk to people, I can tell that we could have made it easier for them as well to get through that phase. So I think we all shared the fact that this is a good idea. I also share notions personally, apart being an ICANN staff. For those who know me quite well, and there are some of you that I haven't met maybe or had a lengthy conversation, I come from originally from Turkey, and I worked all my career. It has been internet for me, and I'm not. Although I started technically soon after, I found myself in a outreach position where I wanted to tell other people what I have learned about this great technology. So I think there is that trainer thing in me, and it pushed me always to similar positions over the course of my life. And I don't want to reveal my age, but believe me, it is not just a couple of years I'm talking about. And when I the recent job I got, RIPAN CC, that was a regional internet registry, again working with a group, a regional group. It wasn't as diverse as ICANN, obviously. But we have, in Europe, we have different cultures, different languages again. So it's a small, you know, compact version of the globe in a lot of ways. And there I also worked with training departments, and I worked as a trainer myself. So my heart lies a lot of in that perspective, seeing the value in training and using the training as a strong outreach tool. This I think this is a shared knowledge notion. So I'm very happy to see such a proposal from ALAC. The thing is, obviously, support or not, at the moment it is a proposal and it is a draft, as I understand it. I have gone through the draft proposal, and I have mentioned it internally to some of our managers and related colleagues as well, and they agree this is a sound idea. How we are going to do it is now the next thing maybe you may want to discuss as a group, because it is not a final proposal yet. So what I see, if I may make observations, are very much in the parallel of what Sandra has just said. Whatever we do together, or you do, it will be the first time. So It might be an idea to start quite focused rather than, you know, with coming up with a very big program, trying to involve everything and trying to do everything. My experience in anything generally, when you start something new, you start slowly, so you learn from your mistakes, you learn what you are needing, so you get ready for the next time for filling those gaps in. With that perspective, when I look at what I've been sent as a proposal, which was from 22nd of August, I don't know if you have, there had been developments since then, but there are the text, the verbos of the proposal talks about three main areas, A, B, C. One is a general introduction into ICANN course for newcomers, newbies. This part, we have been doing that. There is already resources channeled towards there. There is a newcomers track on Monday. It's a full day. We provide very compact information to the newcomers, trying to make sure that they find their feet on and they find a path through their week in their ICANN meeting, in their first ICANN meeting. While I'm saying it's for newcomers, it is also open for everybody. We have second-timers, third-timers, curious old club members. So we have them, and it is a good refresher. We have been receiving really good feedback about this. And in this region, again, I loved it this time because I'm very happy to say this. On Sunday, we had the biggest crowd, biggest room, since I've been running this program for the last three meetings only. We had 85 people in the room plus 10 remotely participating when we started. And by the end of the day, when we ended, we had 120 people. And this is a good number for me, and I understand people are using this opportunity. So my suggestion would be, if you would like to go with the proposal, maybe fine-tune the verbos around these and focus on the B, which is really the gap that Sandra is thinking that we should be filling. Because there we have you talk about an enhanced 20 hours education and a program for the newly appointed ICANN officers, and this is where what Olivia was mentioning, maybe opening this towards the other groups as well. So this is not only a training program for a specific group and group of leaders, but also an environment where these groups can come together. And I think this is a very good step for and an idea of coming from at large and ALAC, because we always say, oh, this group is not talking to that group that much, they don't understand what's happening. We always talk these, oh, great multi-stakeholder model of ICANN, but are they really understanding each other? So we can start here, bringing people from these different groups as leaders together and then make them talk. So it's not only training, but also you are providing, facilitating an environment for them to come together. This would be my observation. The C, general program for interested individuals, these are done here and there. Like we have the AFROLA initiative this meeting, right? The trainings that you guys organize. So this is already going on. So maybe focus with this proposal towards a more that an area which is not very dealt with, where there is a need, and it will be more clear what its purpose is. This would be my observations about the proposal. Like I said, we have the newcomers already covered, and I'm thanks for your support for that too, because we have a lot of ALAC people coming and checking those out, and this is the group that we always send the first, the newcomers, because you always give that general overview of what ICANN is when you also have topics in your agenda. So yeah, we use this group as our pointers. And now my latest part would be, yeah, the proposal is a draft. So these are my observations. I think it will be back to the group, you guys, to take the next step.
Thank you very much, Phyllis. And so I was now going to open the floor for a few questions. I do realize we are running late, but just a couple of questions and then we'll proceed with a vote. So first I have Jean-Jacques, then Rinalia. Anybody else? No. So Jean-Jacques Subrena, please.
Thank you. Thank you, Phyllis, for that presentation. I have a general remark, which is also a suggestion, coming from a long experience in training for professionals at a high level. And one thing I'd like to underline is the necessity of having, whatever the global format you're talking about, whether the whole thing is only 2 days or whether it's a week, never mind, there is one element, I think, which is often missing in this kind of training. It is for someone to give really an overview of what the stakes are, what the challenges are in the medium and long term. Otherwise, the tendency of newcomers is very easily to take refuge in procedure and the mechanisms. Of course, that's interesting, and one has to know about that. But I find in conversations, both in internet matters and previously in other matters as well, international relations or whatever, that it is sometimes the most wide view or the most general view which is lacking. So I would encourage you, in any case, to make a provision for that kind of exchange or perhaps presentation by one person and then a discussion so that the awareness is there for the newcomers, and whatever the procedures or the technical details they will learn, they will have the reflex of thinking, ah, but what does it mean in wider terms for the global internet, not only for ICANN? Thanks.
Thank you very much, Jean-Jacques. Rinalia Abdul-Rahim.
Thank you, Chair, and I second Jean-Jacques' input. I think the ICANN Academy is a wonderful idea because the ICANN environment is extremely challenging for newcomers, and quite a few people have said that before. My concern is that if you tag such a program to an ICANN meeting, the scheduling conflict will make it sometimes impossible for people to attend. For example, here you have the newcomers track, but we've had full meetings since Sunday. So some people have not been able to attend, and of course we have to make choices in terms of where we go, but it would be nice if it could be scheduled in a way that people can actually attend.
Phyllis, do you wish to respond to that?
Sorry, I just hurt myself. I think these are all valid comments, but these are obviously the details of the syllabus, and I'm hoping that ALAC proposal will contain elements in that regards too. Again, I want to make sure that this is an ALAC initiative at large idea, so I'm just I'm trying to make sure that it is shaped up in a way that it will be useful for everybody. I think, right, Sandra, this is a valid comment. This was one of the details we have discussed among ourselves, but I don't know if you want to.
Sandra.
May I just please quickly respond to this point? It was discussed on the mailing list already, but I think you were not on this list at that time. If such an academy makes sense either before an ICANN meeting or after an ICANN meeting, and I think this will be a point which has to be discussed during the work of the working group again before we make a final proposal how this is going to be solved, but definitely not within those ICANN stress during the ICANN meeting.
Thank you, Sandra. Phyllis, if you wish to respond, you will have to know that this will eat into your next presentation because we're eating into our own eating and resting time. So,
just a little comment over there. When these are noted, please, if you can put a consideration in your proposal or discussions that if there are any effect on the ICANN staff resources, that will be a factor as well that will need to be, you know, later on evaluated. Because, same applies for the staff time as well. Just a note.
Thank you very much, Phyllis. One last question from Alan, question or comment?
No, a quick comment, just in regard to what Sandra said and Renalia. The newcomers track is really aimed at attendees who are coming to a meeting. We're very much focusing on people who are expecting to work within the structure of ICANN, and the depth of knowledge that's needed, plus the time conflicts Renalia referred to, really make them two separate things, even if a lot of the material might overlap.
Thank you very much, Alan. And since we're really into overtime, I now propose to create the working group. Could I ask Heidi to read the motion, please?
Okay. Thank you. This is Heidi for the transcript record. The motion as proposed is, should the ALAC create an ad hoc working group to develop an ICANN Academy expanding on the draft ICANN Academy proposal?
Calling for a second, I assume, ma'am?
Calling for a seconder, yes, please. And I notice Cheryl Langdon or Jean-Jacques Rouena, Tijani Benjamin, anyone on the other side as well, Carlton Samuels, oh, and Dave Kissendoyle. Fantastic. Well, there seems to be much support. So now for these procedural things, I'll pass the floor over to Cheryl Langdon, who loves doing these things.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Cheryl Langdonore for the Transcript Records, and I will remind you that come Friday afternoon, you will have to do these things.
And if I can say, I'm getting you to say to do them again and again, so others will also learn how to do them. And perhaps I might even do so as well, but it's the only time I can actually rest a little bit. So, Cheryl, the floor is back to you.
Is there any discussion on the motion? So put. Seeing no call for discussion, we now put the motion to become a resolution. May I ask all the members of the ALAC who wish to vote for this motion to raise their hand or their card and keep it up for counting.
I ask staff to start the count.
May I now call for any member of the ALAC to raise their hand or their card to indicate a nay or no vote to vote against the motion. For the record, I see none. Is there any member of the ALAC who wishes to mark an abstention? If so, please raise your hand or your card now. I see none. Therefore, can I do this because I'm never going to be chair again, and I loved it when I was. I declare the motion carried.
Go on.
I declare the motion carried.
Yeehaw, yippee, yippee-o. And I wonder how the transcript will sound that. Right, so, and the translation as well. That will be interesting. So, can we have the results of the vote, please?
The votes for the motion of should the ALAC create an ad hoc working group to develop an ICANN Academy expanding on the draft ICANN Academy proposal is a total of 12 yes votes, 0 no votes, and 0 abstentions. The motion is carried.
Minor point of order, Mr. Chairman.
Cheryl.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Cheryl Langdon-Orr for the transcript record. It would be appropriate that we note that member who was at table in prior vote has left table and therefore, by definition, with his excuse and reason for leaving, has tendered apologies. So he is absent with permission to the vote. That would be Mr. Edmund Chung. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And the apology was, I am going to an IDN meeting, which is entirely appropriate for an IDN liaison. Great. Okay. Of course, the next thing that we need to do before we give the floor back to Phyllis for her presentation, which I'm afraid she's going to have to do pretty quickly, is to appoint interim chairs. And I propose that the interim chairs would be Sandra Hofer-Richter and Wolf Ludwig, and to build that working group by having other at-large members join it. And I have seen a number of people who have spoken about the ICANN Academy today and asked questions who would be extremely welcome to join. Okay, so Wolf and Sandra, you'll have to, you've got plenty of work when you go back home. Thank you. And Phyllis, back to you. Comments, process enhancements, public comments, process enhancements. The floor is yours.
Thank you. What we have been, are you going to be flipped? Yeah, all right. Yeah, let's. We are talking about here, the accountability and review team went through recently some recommendations covering a lot of different areas, including board structures and the liaisons with GAG. One of the other areas was about public comments. And there are four recommendations that I've been dealing with so far. So I wanted to give you an update about this. These were part of the ATRT forum on Monday, yesterday. I know that you are interested in these, especially knowing where the policy developments are in other groups. So just a quick recap. So what's happening with 15 and 16 is... 15 is stratification and prioritization. Just a reminder, these recommendations is basically telling us that if we would, if the public comment processes could provide some categorization among public comments and also some prioritization to flag them as important or not to be important for an individual, that would help to make a decision of participation. So it's a matter of catching the eye of the participant, basically. The next slide, please. And 16 and 17 is coming from a need, I believe, the way public comments has been structured historically within ICANN structures. What happened there, you may know that a report is published, the issue is documented and put up for public review out there, and there is a period. And often what we see, and I think what the ATRT team spotted, was that everybody waits till the last day, and then on the last day, people just make reports or comments, individual or on an organizational basis. What happens there, sometimes some participants feel the need, if I could have had time, I could actually also refer to that previous comment and say a few things about that. The structure is not there. So understanding that this could be a need, ATRT review team recommended that there would be a comment and a reply cycle. They weren't specific on how we would provide this to the community, but they just asked a structure to be put in place, allowing people to be able to comment to those previous comments if they would like to. And recommendation 21 is basically raising awareness about upcoming issues, and I know that this group is using it a lot and in demand for that due to the fact that you would like to provide your comments in for the other groups. So if we can go to the next slide. What we have chose to do with these implementations, obviously, or the recommendations for the initial plans, for the implementation plans for the recommendations. We chose to apply a two-phase approach because the components are interlinked and related, and instead of, if we would have chosen a linear approach, first we deal with 15 and then we go on with 16, 17 and 21, it wouldn't provide a good solution for the user perspective, I believe. So what we have done is... I'm sorry, Matt, is it possible to make it a little bigger? Yeah, I think that's what Jean-Jacques was looking for. Thank you. So what is happening is in the first phase, we put some kitchen work into the issue and created some infrastructure for the further improvements. And in between, we did some communication with the necessary groups, and we again sorted ourselves for further technical improvements. And in phase two, which we are in now, we are working on these further enhancements. So if you go to the next slide. This is the first phase one. What we actually did by 30th of June, we created staff templates and guidelines, which are now supporting the new looks of the web pages, which are more streamlined. They are consistently carrying information in regards to data tokens, like the closing times are standard now, consistent among each other. We provided a bit more context about what the issue is about, what the purpose is, what the current state is, what will be the next steps, so that the reader can see, okay, this is now open, and then the next step will be staff evaluation or the board approval, or it will go back to a community stakeholder group. All of these are noted down there. The other improvement we have done by 30th of June was that we published upcoming topics page for 2011, and a regular process to maintain such a list is also provided and developed. So we are doing this now, and we are receiving feedback from all the constituencies, all parts of ICANN structure to maintain this list. So the next slide, please. This is now how the new public comments pages, a sample one, look like. Those are the tokens that I was talking about as consistent ones, the purpose, current state, next steps, and we also provide the staff contact. One of the biggest issues we were hearing about was when the public comments were actually closed. And now we are deploying and explicitly mentioning that it is a UTC set time, and everybody can then know what that would be in their own time and choose to provide their comments accordingly. Next, please. And this is the sample upcoming public comment page. What we provide there, which organization has an issue in their agenda, and when it is likely to be part of the public comment process. Like in this example, for example, you see the one from GNSO, and it is set to be an issue somewhere between July and December 2011. We can't obviously set a strict deadline, because these are works coming from different parts of ICANN, and the policy-making bodies, they set their own timelines for those things. Next, please. So between phase one and phase two, we had a focus group. We formed a focus group from different parts of the ICANN multi-stakeholder model. Thanks to At Large from LACLARO, we had Dev appointed by this group, and he provided very useful feedback to us on the constructs we were developing at the time. Other stakeholder groups also participated in registries, registrars, commercial, and CCNSO. But after working with this focus group, next slide, please. In phase two, by 31st of August, we published all these proposed constructs, i.e. enhancements, for the wider community feedback. It contains stratification proposal, a list of categories. It contained the comment reply cycle that was proposed as minimum 30 plus 15 days as a structure. And we also included as a staff initiative, this is not part of ATRT recommendations. Please, I want to make this very clear, because ATRT never told us, set this as a recommendation. This is just a staff initiative. We thought a threaded wiki environment could be complementary to these recommendations, and we have been working on a development where we could use the forum environment of wiki for a threaded conversation. Next, please. So comment period ended on 15th of October after a testing of comment reply structure. And we published a report and summarizing and analyzing all the comments we received by 20th of October. It is in this link now. If you are interested, please have a look at there to see other people's comments and how we see them, what we can do about them. Our target delivery is still 31st of December, as set to as our target day for the board, who PPC is overseeing this activities actually. By 31st of December, we hope to go out with an updated public comment page structure where stratification will be embedded, comment reply structure is applied, and we hope to have our staff trained accordingly too, because they will have to be part of this new structure and follow it up together with the community. Next, please. And that staff initiative I talked to you about, the threaded conversation environment, we still consider that there was support from the focus group and the comments we received from the wider community during public comment. There are concerns that this may change the way the community interacts during public comments, but we want to still open up a trial so that people can see what it will be like. And so we hope to have a test environment open for November, and I'm looking for volunteers to take place. So if there are any interested people, please, yeah, I see nodding heads. Thank you for your help. That will be really helpful for us to make a judgment on if this should be the way community should be discussing these issues. And then, depending on the results of this test, we will announce a target date for delivery for that component too. Thank you. I know I took some time, but I wanted to make sure that this is also clear to you.
Thank you very much, Feliz. Okay, are there any questions? I do realize we're running really very late, and so just take a couple of questions. So Jean-Jacques and then Alan.
It's more a comment. I want to commend the way this has been dealt with. It's a really great progress. The thing all started off with a study which we had initiated in the board public participation committee about 1.5 or 2 years ago. That was slightly before you arrived on the staff. And at that time, believe it or not, we concentrated on one minute part of all this, which was simply the public comment deadlines, I mean the timeline, but not at all on this whole procedure. So I think that that's a great progress. The other thing I'd like to point out is that the efficacy of all this depends on the number of reactions or comments you will be able to generate with this new method. So I'd be interested, once this has been rolling on for, let's say, 6 months, on a trial period, that you come back to us and say, these are the first results. Thanks.
Thank you. Alan.
This isn't a comment, but a commend. I was the one who pointed out that 2400 UTC on a specific day is not a clear definition, but could be the day before the day, the end of the day or the beginning of the day. And I got back a very nice note from Thilouz saying it would be added to the considerations, and then found within a couple of days it was changed not only in future ones but in existing ones. And that delighted me. I was equally delighted by the comment that she added in her reply, pointing out that when comment periods are closed, they are moved to a closed period. But new comments will still be accepted, and if the summary hasn't been done yet, will be factored into the summary, which I think is absolutely delightful and unbureaucratic. So thank you on all counts.
Thank you very much, Feliz. And just as one thing, the commenting period, of course, is changing, is evolving and improving in all of ICANN, of course, and at large. It also is one of the at-large improvements, also looks at the our own comment development process, et cetera, et cetera. But that is something that will continue, a piece of work that will continue later. Right, we're going to have a break. Thank you, Felice, for having come to speak to us for such a while. We'll have a 10-minute break, everybody. We have informed Kurt Pritz. Okay, so 10-minute break, please, and be back at 4:10. Thank you.